couple of quick things, Chief. You got some competitive firefighters climbing the ladder and competing in the Boston Bruins thing here. I saw online as well.
Yeah. So the Be Fit Challenge that they quarterback downtown. They do it. They're still doing it kind of in two different methods, right? So there is the ability to download their app, I believe it is, and connect that up, and you do your walks and runs and whatnot, and it's calculating all of those things when you're doing them for an off-site portion of the competition. And then they have their on-site portion of the competition. And when I say competition, it's definitely competitive. And there's people that really, really want to come in as the top team or the top, you know, top people in their tiers that they're doing this work in. But it's all about raising funds. Mm-hmm. You know, so this, the funding in this, you can jump on the website and take a look. But this goes back to the first responders, you know, families, to support them, and first responders that have been killed and injured, you know, doing this work. So there's great fundraising effort in it. You know, this is one of many fundraisers that this union engages in. You know, obviously they're collecting every year out there with the boot, you know, for muscular dystrophy and doing all those things. They do this. It kind of goes back to the first responder community with police, fire, EMS, you know, being the kind of the beneficiary of that effort's kind of looking after our own. And then there's the air climb that they do every year that goes to the Lung Association, which obviously we have a great tie to. You know, a lot of firefighters suffer from, you know, lung cancers, given, again, the exposures I just talked about. But the Lung Association and the work that they do is across the board for anybody with lung disease. It's just not a firefighter thing. So our efforts there are partly because, yeah, we suffer from some of that as well. But the unfortunate side of what we see and do in EMS is that there's a lot of people that have a lot of difficulty breathing. And it sucks to watch, and trying to help fix that, in other ways preventively, you know, is something that kind of brings that little bit of joy to the job that, hey, you know what, let's try to prevent those things. You know, fire prevention, we eliminate all fires, then you know what? Wow, we really don't need firefighters. It's counterintuitive when you think about it to people that do this for a living, right? You know, so it's, while we do all those things, we know we'll never eliminate all those hazards.
There's still going to be lightning, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be malfunctions. It's not going to eliminate the need for us or our jobs. It could reduce it, and we're willing to be reduced as needed in the industry. I mean, that's just part of the makeup of the folks that do this work, that they're not doing it to get rich because government doesn't pay that well. You know, it's not horrible, but it's not great. A lot of these folks are really smart, and they could go do some other things, probably make a lot more money, but they love this work, and they love helping people, and they find great satisfaction in it, and it pays enough to raise a family and live a life, so they take both ends of that and enjoy it. And the giving back, right, and the going out and helping people is really what motivates these folks. You know, that at the end of the day is why they are who they are, and the job that they do. They were drawn to this work because of their internal composition that makes them the person they are, and they're happiest serving others. And so that extends outside of work when they're not on the clock and they're climbing some big high rise to raise some funds to help other people. You know, they like to stay in shape. They get to raise money and help some people. It's just a good deal all around.
A lot of your firefighters are former students of mine, so I certainly second that. Finally, Chief, I want to ask you about the role, and maybe I should do this more often about specific personnel from time to time, but I'd like to ask you about the role of the fire inspector.
Yeah, so the role of fire inspector, so our Fire Prevention Bureau is made up of three full-time employees, and the lead employee in that, the senior employee that's in charge of the Bureau, is a deputy chief, Barry App. He wears two hats in that he handles all the upper-level administrative officer duties and larger projects and larger scope things in the office, because there's it's just a ton of work, a lot of permitting, a lot of major projects, you know, the hotel, the schools that are being built. Those are big structures, big buildings, a lot of work, and that's not really, a fire inspector is there to go do the routine, regular inspections. Now, mind you, because we're a small shop with basically 2.5 people, one is the full-time inspector, the fire inspector, Lieutenant Tommy Sayas, does an awesome job and has to be a man that knows many, many things and wears many, many hats, because the fire code, the building code, electrical code, it's all interwoven. He has to work directly with all these other inspectors, and they do it, in many cases, as a team. It's more effective for the customer that we all show up at once, get in and get out of your hair so you can get back to work or back to building or whatever you're doing. So that's a good, a good thing for the community and those folks in those situations. But you miss less when people are there and you're looking at things holistically, right? And if I go, hey, that doesn't look right to me. I know that's your thing, but what do you think? Oh, I didn't see that, right? Because buildings are complex animals, and whilst we're in them at all the right phases, hopefully to see that stuff, it's not always simple. So, it's a lot of training, a lot of energy, a lot of effort, and right now we've got, 1.5 people as far as what the pay and their job descriptions are for. The halftime is for the boss, for Deputy App, who's running that bureau. We have a civilian in there that is the clerk that manages most of the interactions between the public and the department when they're trying to initiate permits and set up and schedule inspections and so forth. She handles all of that and way, way, way more, right? And she keeps Tom and Barry on task and on schedule because she's managing the calendar for all of the above, all their meetings, all their inspections, all the training that they have to keep up on, refresher training. So, all that's got to be scheduled so we aren't missing getting the job done. And poor Tommy, he has an office. He doesn't see it much.
I was going to say, yeah.
Doesn't see it much. Barry sees it a little bit more because he's stuck with a little bit more of the paperwork side of it and the other side of his job, right? So half of his employment is overseeing the Fire Prevention Bureau, and the other half of it is being the department's training officer. So he's getting pulled in multiple directions, but those overlap nicely because knowing the buildings that you're in, knowing the current codes, knowing the risks and the hazards leads you down to the appropriate training, the appropriate tours of facilities by personnel that it's like, no, this is a tricky thing. I want everybody to come see it, and let's go tour a building. No, this is a hazmat facility that we're required to go train on. We just did their permitting. Come on down. We're all going to have a look. So, that is a new position since July for us with that. Tom's position's been in there carrying the load of all of that with the assistance that I could lend him. And so we've done a lot to try to open up that plate for him so he can focus on the stuff that, all the inspections and the permitting and those processes that take a lot of time, they take a lot of energy, and you're out in the field all day.
There's also a personal touch. I had a question with my smoke detectors, and they were way, way outside of their operating life, and I forget exactly how I connected with Lieutenant Sayas. But he came over to the house, and I, all the things you're talking about, I don't know how he fit me in, and he explained things to me, and he explained it so that I could install the smoke detectors, and that they would meet code, and they would meet his inspection, so that my insurance would be okay. I didn't realize there was a connection with my house insurance, and so I just want to point out that your men are very responsive, and they're very community oriented.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, any questions that come through the office, whether somebody like you reaches out to me and goes, hey, Chief, I got a question. And then I go, yeah, you know what? I am an expert in the field, but I don't know as much as the guys that work for me that's all they do every single day, right? They are eyeball deep in it, where as the chief of the department, I am very knowledgeable on all of the above, but the minutiae in a lot of the code and ordinance things, You need people that specialize in it, and he is absolutely a specialist. And we've had many before him, and there will be many after him. But it takes almost another level of dedication to this job to step into the fire inspector or the training officer or more of these administrative Monday through Friday roles, because that's not the typical traditional firefighter schedule. Mm-hmm. And a lot of firefighters love the firefighter schedule, even though they're working 56 hours a week. It's cyclic, right? And you have whole days where you're not at work on a Tuesday and the kids got a field trip. You get to go do those things as a parent that many parents don't. So that firefighting schedule it's not easy. It can be extremely difficult. You miss a lot of holidays and birthdays and events. But there are those other benefits that some people never get to experience when they're working the 9-to-5. These folks are working the 9-to-5, and they're working 45, 50 hours a week. They're not doing that lesser schedule. They're here a lot, and it's on regular duty hours. And, you know, my hat goes off to all of them when they commit to that, because it's huge. It's not, you know, they're still firefighters. They even come in and they'll work some overtime shifts and help me plug holes in the schedule when people are hurt and vacations and everything else. But you know, they take it to the next level, and they have to attend tons of meetings and trainings to be up to speed on all this. And like you said, you know, Tommy is a wealth of information, and it takes him 10 minutes to swing by and help you resolve a problem in your house that, you know, had you called a contractor, sure, they can come fix it. It may have been a lot more money, and it's probably not money poorly spent. But you got the same result because you're a handy guy. You're allowed to change the smoke detector heads and put in a new version, right? And now you've got the 10-year battery. It meets current code and compliance. And yeah, you don't have the risk of your insurance company calling you going, hey, we have a problem here.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's, the work they do is awesome. And you know, that goes true for everybody here. If you pick up the phone, call somebody and need advice about anything that firefighting and fire prevention, any of the duties and obligations that we have to the community. If the people that you talk to don't have the answer, they're going to get you to the person that has the answer, and we're going to help you resolve whatever that issue is.